Good morning. Can everybody hear? Or do I need to move this up? Better? Okay. Last spring, when Barbara and I were returning from Texas, we went through the little city of Claremore, Oklahoma. We planned to do that so we could go through the Will Rogers Museum. Now, those of you that don't know who Will Rogers was, he was born in the late 1800s. And he started out his life as a working cowboy, and from there he progressed to Wild West shows, to vaudeville, ending up in the Ziegfeld Follies, which was the high point of that art form. From there, he became one of the most popular silent film stars. And along the way, because of his comments that he had made while doing trick roping, he became very famous for his comments, more so than for his roping, and he was asked to do a newspaper column. That column, which he did for years, was reproduced all over the world, and he became world famous for his humor. And his humor was based upon the events of the day. He was asked to tour Europe, go overseas, and he went to a passport office and he applied for a passport. And while he was there, the clerk asked him for his birth certificate. Now, Rogers was born in what was called the Oklahoma Territory before it became the state of Oklahoma, and they didn't bother themselves with things like birth certificates. And he told the clerk, well, we always assumed that if you were talking to somebody, that person had been born. We're not going to make that assumption today, although I think we could very easily assume that everybody sitting here has been born. But there are five appointments that every person has to make in their life. We will be faced with those five appointments, and we have control over one of them. The others we have no say in, just as we had no say in being born. How many of us had any control over anything dealing with our birth? Not a hand went up. Because obviously we don't. In Genesis, the third chapter, God told Eve, because of her sin, he would multiply her pain in childbirth. Childbirth is from God. I don't know if in the Garden of Eden there was anybody born, if there was any animals that gave birth. But we know that God told Eve, you will bear children. And women down through the ages have borne children. We're not going to get into the science of birth. The other things that we have no control over, and we're going to look at these each in detail, is death, resurrection, judgment. And then we'll look at the one appointment that we have, that everyone that has ever lived has, is the appointment with God. We have the gospel given to us. That's the appointment, and we will look at the results of accepting or not accepting that appointment. We have been born. We were born to woman, of woman. And at some point, and we have no control over it, we will die. We're told in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, that it is appointed once for man to die. We have an appointment with death. It may come early. It may come late. We can't control it. There are people that have been in, there are people in this room that have been in dangerous situations. And they lived because of pure dumb luck. And there was nothing they could really do outside of a few minor things to prevent death. None of us can change that appointment. we will all, at some point in our life, die. In Romans, and we're going to look at a lot of scriptures this morning. It was pointed out to me one time a while back that I did a fair job of speaking, but I needed to put more scripture in a lesson. So we're going to put a lot of scripture in this lesson today. And sometimes I'm going to ask you to turn, and sometimes it'll be up to you. But we're going to be looking at Romans, the 5th chapter and the 12th verse. And there the writer said, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. If Adam and Eve had not sinned, I don't know if we would have been here. But I know we wouldn't have died. Because death is the result of that first sin. All of us will die because of what Adam did in his sin. It is appointed to man once to die. Death spread to all men because one man sinned. There were two people in the history of mankind that have not died. Who were they? Elijah and Enoch. They were taken up by God. They didn't see death. God's own son was born, and what happened to him? He died. He was put to death. We don't have a chance of escaping it. It's going to happen. We all have that appointment, unless Christ comes before our time. We have no control over the how or the when. We can only hope that we are aged, not in pain, with a strong mind and strong body, and pass away quietly and peaceably. That is the best we can hope for. But how it happens is of no control. We have no control over. But we know it will happen. We just don't know when or how it will happen. The next appointment we have is resurrection. Other people have been resurrected already. We just looked at the offering that we have to celebrate, to remember the sacrifice, the death and burial and resurrection of our Savior. But there have been others. Lazarus had been dead for more than 3 days. What did his sister say of him? He stinks. His body started to rot. But Christ resurrected Lazarus. He brought him back from the dead for a purpose. To show that he had control over death. Christ showed that he had control over many things. He had control over the wind. He had control over the seas. He was a master chemist. He could change water into wine. He could heal. He was the greatest physician that ever lived. He could heal you of any disease, any injury, any problem you had. And he could raise you from the dead. people have been resurrected. When Christ died, we're told that the tombs were open and saints walked from those graves. They were resurrected. The resurrection I'm talking about this morning, though, is nothing like that. Because those saints, those people, Lazarus, were resurrected back into this world. The resurrection we are facing will not be back into this world. John, the 5th chapter, the 28th and 29th verses, talks about how the hour is coming and all who are in the tombs will hear His voice and come out. Revelation tells us that every eye will see Him, even those who killed Him. Everyone who has ever lived will be resurrected. Everyone that ever died will be resurrected. And we will all have to look our Savior in the eye. We have no control over that. This will happen. It is as sure as birth and death. We will all stand and see Jesus at the resurrection. We have no control over any of these three appointments in our life. The final appointment that we have no control over is judgment. How many of us have ever stood, and I don't ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you have ever had to stand before a judge? I was 16 years old the first time I stood in front of a judge. Back then, you couldn't just mail a fine in for a speeding ticket or a traffic ticket. You had to go to court. I was 16 years old, and I had no control. I was in that judge's kingdom. Didn't matter what I said, the decision was totally his. I have to admit, I didn't have much to argue. And I listened to the words that that man threw at me. This was back in the days when if you got a traffic ticket, you went to traffic court. You didn't have a juvenile court to go to if you were under 18. You stood up in front of that judge, in front of every person in that room. Now, I don't know if every judge was this way, but this one chewed me out up one side and down the other. I felt about that big when he was finished. And then he hit me with a huge fine. $25. Now you think about what you were making in the early 60s. I would get a dollar for mowing a yard. I got a $25 fine. And I had no control over that. I was judged and I was found wanting. Acts the 17th chapter in the 31st verse. We are told that a man has been appointed and assured for judgment. And he was raised for that purpose. The day is fixed. God knows when judgment will be. And we have no say in that. We have no control over it. It will happen. Every one of us will stand before a judge, and everything we have thought, uttered, done will be judged. It will come as a thief in the night. The Lord will come like a thief in the night. How many thieves have ever contacted you and told you what day and time they would be there? When do they come? When does a thief strike? When you're not expecting it. And we get oh so comfortable in our lives. We get oh so comfortable in our planning. Barbara and I are planning a trip in September. We'll be gone for a couple of weeks. We're planning a trip in November. We'll be gone a little over a week, about a week. We're planning a trip after Christmas. We plan to be gone a couple of months. And those plans may be a waste of time. Because God will come as a thief in the night when we're least expecting it. I want to thank Dale for reading in Revelations. And I'd like you to open your books. We're going to go back to that. Revelation's the 20th chapter, and we're going to start this time with the 12th verse. We're going to reread what Dale read earlier. Now, I'm using the English Standard Version, so the concepts, the thoughts are the same. The verbiage may differ slightly. Revelations, the 20th chapter, and we're going to begin with the 12th verse. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. This is John speaking in prophecy. And the books were opened. And then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice coming from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I shall give from the spring of water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the fatherless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur which is the second death. Birth, death, resurrection, and judgment, we have no control over. They will happen. But there is that one appointment that we have, a measure of control over. It will happen. It has happened to some. It will happen to all. Now, how we deal and what we do with that appointment is entirely up to each one of us and to each one of us alone. The gospel of Christ was presented to the world. We have it in books. We have it at our fingertips. We have it laying on the window sills. There's a stack of them back in the office. Most of us have our own with us. We know what the gospel is. We have been presented with the gospel. We can control it in as far as whether we accept it or we reject it. How many of us have been presented with a proposal and not made a decision on it? How many of you have? I'm asking for hands. No, you're wrong. Every proposal that is sent to you, given to you, presented to you in any shape or form, you make a decision. We all do. We can accept it. We can reject it. But we can't ignore it. It's there. The gospel has been presented. We have two choices, accept it or reject it. Now, in Revelations, we heard about what happens as the result of each of those decisions. One is beautiful. No death, no mourning, no pain, no sorrow, no tears. What's the other? A lake of fire. Now, is this prophetic language or literal? I don't know. I don't want to know. But we know one is good and one is very, very bad. One we can aspire to and one we want to avoid. God tells us in 2 Thessalonians, and we're going to look over there a little bit, so you might want to turn to the first chapter of 2 Thessalonians. We're going to go down to the 8th verse. Let's go back to the 7th. Now we're going to go back to the 5th, just to complete the whole thought here. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering, since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from his glorious might, when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled. And to be marveled at among all who believe, because our testimony to you was believed. We're told that in multiple places that vengeance belongs to God. And he will extract vengeance. Why does he want vengeance? What has man done wrong? Well, first, God gave him a garden to live in. He gave him companionship. He had no strenuous work. He could enjoy the day. He could enjoy the animals. He could enjoy his wife. They could enjoy life. God asked them not to do one thing. Just don't do this. And they did it. And they got put out of that garden. And Adam found what it was like to be a farmer. And Eve was in pain in childbirth. God then said, I'm going to send my son down to you. He's going to live as one of you. And he's going to be tempted just like you are. And then you're going to be allowed to put him to death in a horrendous manner. And after 3 days, he will rise from the grave. And then he will ascend to heaven. I ask you to obey what he says. Now, if we were God for a moment, and we ask a creation of ours to do one thing, or not to do one thing, and they did it, and then we ask them to live according to certain rules, and they killed our messengers, and then we sent our son down to him, and they killed him. How many of us would want vengeance? Everybody's hand needs to be up. God is entitled. He's not an evil God. But he has given us what he wants us to do. We are his property. We are his creation. We did not get here on our own. He said, this is what I want you to do. And if you do this, I will reward you greatly. If you don't, I'm going to punish you greatly. We can obey, or we can reject, but we cannot ignore the gospel. Of those five appointments in life, birth, death, resurrection, judgment, and the gospel, we can only control one of them, the gospel. And we can accept it or we can reject it. Most will reject it. Matthew, the 7th chapter, the 13th and 14th verses. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. I have always felt that I needed to be part of something bigger than me. I think that's one reason why I spent 21 years in the Marine Corps. I have had all the jobs I have had in my life have meant I'm doing something more important than me, with one exception. And I didn't stay there very long. As a building inspector, I wanted to make sure that the homes, that the businesses, the buildings that people lived in and worked in were safe for them to be in. That was more important than me as an individual. Most people, I think, in the world need to have that concept that they are part of something greater than themselves, that they are reaching and struggling toward a goal, a worthy, worthwhile goal. Those of us in the church are part of something so much greater than ourselves, so much greater than humanity individually. I cannot think of, I cannot imagine something more important to mankind than the gospel of Christ and obedience to that gospel. Some people believe that you count numbers. And this group over here is the biggest, so they must be doing something right. But that's not correct. Often in life, it's the small group that's doing something right. And everybody else is taking that nice wide path because it's easy. Being obedient to the gospel of Christ is not necessarily easy. It's far easier just to go along with the crowd. It's far easier not to think about things and just be guided by pure emotion. But as we have read twice from the book of Revelations, we know what happens if we reject the gospel. We know what happens if we are obedient to Christ. Christ has given us the first steps necessary to begin a journey through a gate that is narrow and a path that's not easy. Some of us, most of us, are trying to follow that path. We've entered on that journey. But for those who have not been obedient to the gospel, I cannot encourage you more. But think about what we have read. These are not the words of David Landis. David Landis has nothing to say this morning. He is just repeating what God said. I cannot fathom eternity. When I try and fathom eternity, I get a headache. Because everything has a beginning and an end. We don't have a concept of things that didn't begin and don't end. But eternity will not end. Not just for a lifetime, or a dozen lifetimes, or a thousand lifetimes. I can't imagine eternity. I just know I don't want to end up in that, whether it's prophetic or literal, that lake of fire. I've been burned. I didn't like it. But the idea of being in a place where there's no mourning, no sorrow, no tears, where I never get hungry, I never get thirsty, The people I have known are there. People I've loved, hopefully, are there. People I have read about and admired are there. Or do you want to be with the people that you sincerely hope never to meet in a dark alley? You cannot ignore the gospel. It is there. It has been presented to you. You can accept it. You can reject it. You now know the results of each of those. What will happen? If there are any here this morning that have lived a life that is not in obedience to that gospel, who have rejected it up until now, but want to make amends, want to start over on that narrow path through that short, that narrow gate, you have to repent. You have to tell yourself, you have to believe, I have done wrong and I will change. You have to make a public confession that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That man that was born 2,000 odd years ago, Jesus, is actually the Son of God. You have to be baptized. Jesus went down into a grave, and 3 days later he came up out of that grave. And we are required, if you would, to recreate that event through baptism, where you go down into the water, you are buried under the water, and you come up out of that water. But when you come up, you're different than when you went in. Because when you went in, you were sinful. Each one of us. And when we came up out of that water, we were without sin. And then comes the hard part. Not following the crowd through that big, wide open, easy path, but staying with that little group through that narrow gate on that hard road. If there are any here who have not obeyed the gospel and would like to obey the gospel, or any here who need the prayers, the thoughts, the help of this congregation, we ask you to come forward as we stand and sing the song that Brother Ed has announced.